After learning about hospital as a system and organization, let's understand the most important aspect of hospital for which the patient normally enters a hospital. When he is sick or he is involved with some accident, usually he is looking for some or the other kind of emergency care or some or the other kind of treatment for his ailment. At times he can be acutely ill where an operative treatment may be required. So for this most important part of hospital, that is medical care system, that we are going to learn, where we are going to learn about the services like outpatient department, casualty, what a hospital is supposed to do in cases of mass casualties, for example in the case of earthquake, floods, building collapse, etc., some or the other kind of disasters. Then we are going to learn about what for the hospital is set up, basically to give accommodation to the patient when he is not able to take care of himself at home, and that is inpatient department, IPD, where the wards are there, and some of the critically ill patients when they will need a kind of intensive care. So intensive care unit, where it can be either intensive cardiac care unit, it can be a surgical intensive care unit, it can be neonatal intensive care unit, it can be pediatric intensive care unit, etc. And finally, we will also learn about, as I told you, somebody may be having acutely ill and where only surgery is the only option, and hence the operation theater, how they are going to function and how best the care of the patient will be taken in a hospital. So our learning objectives are, first and foremost, outpatient department, where we are going to learn about its location, where it should be located for the best treatment to be given, how much space will be required for such kind of department in various fields. For example, it will be in radiology, it will be in medical OPD, ENT OPD, psychiatric OPD, etc. Then the most common problem of patients in a hospital is there is a lot of waiting time for the patients in OPDs. So what are the factors which can lead to increased waiting time, and how we are going to reduce that as far as possible so that the patient will be treated promptly as early as possible and least inconvenience will be there for the patient. And there are certain ancillary facilities also required along with OPD, which we are going to learn. Then we'll learn about the emergency care service, that is casualty. So we'll talk about where exactly it should be located, because of its due importance, that is the first place where usually a acutely ill patient is going to go. What are the various types of emergency services needed and how we are going to fulfill that. We are going to know about what all staff is required for properly maintaining casualty services. Then we are going to learn about the various kinds of preparedness for the disasters. The disasters may be in the form of earthquake, floods, bomb blast, any epidemic, etc. Then we are going to learn about the intensive care unit, what are the various types of intensive care units. As I told you earlier, it can be surgical intensive care unit, intensive coronary care unit, it can be pediatric intensive care unit, etc. What are the staffing required for each kind of these intensive care units, and what are the various essential equipments needed in intensive care unit so that the critically ill patient can be taken care of promptly and he should not only survive but he should be getting a good quality of life later also. Then we are going to learn about the inpatient department, where various kinds of wards are there. So we'll learn about the types of wards in the form of whether it is Nightingale ward or Rick's ward or L-shaped ward or circular ward, etc. Then we'll learn about various activities to be carried out in a ward. We'll learn about the staffing in a ward and also some of the ancillary services required for the ward. Then we'll learn about the operation theater, where what is the layout of the operation theater, how it should be laid out, on where it should be located, What are the various zones? Especially there are four zones we'll be learning. Then sterilization is very important in case of operation theater, because finally we are cutting open the patient, or we are going to laparoscopically go inside the organs of the patients, whereby if there is an infection, it is direct access to our tissues, and hence it's going to be a major problem for the patient, because it can lead to septicemia easily, and then the delayed recovery will be there for the patient. So sterilization is extremely important in case of hospital operation theater. As we have known in the history, there were cases of hospital acquired infections, especially in OT, and some people have died also, and hence sterilization's importance cannot be ignored. Then how we are going to schedule this operation so that at the right time all the patients are getting operated and they are not getting delayed, whereby they will be having a lot of anxiety. And finally, how we are going to manage the operation theater treatment. Now let's understand about the very important service of hospital outpatient department, where a large number of patients are going to be treated. Its importance: it's a showcase of any hospital, because it's the first place where usually the patient goes, and it reflects the image of the hospital at large. So if the patient is satisfied in OPD, definitely he is going to tell it to his relatives, friends, by the word of mouth, and it's an automatic publicity. And as such, you know that for medical services, according to the MCI rules, we are not supposed to advertise. So marketing is usually done by mouth to mouth. So if the patients are going to be very happy about our OPD services, which is a showcase, definitely it is going to help us in getting a better name and fame for the hospital, and definitely it will lead to better community service and also better profits for the hospital. It will reduce, by having good OPD services, it can lead to reduction of the morbidity. So various diseases can be treated at the earliest stage. They can prevent the admissions of the patients in the hospital as far as possible, so that most of the services can be taken care of at the OPD level itself. It will also reduce the mortality, because if the prompt treatment is given, the complications will be much less, and naturally the death rate of the community patients in and around hospital is going to reduce by the right kind of services provided. So it's a stepping stone to health promotion as well as disease prevention. As we know here, the patients are coming comparatively at a earlier stage of their disease, so we can prevent further complications by giving them the right kind of health education talks. And this is the place where other problems which the patient may be having, for example, when we take the history of the patient in the form of the past illness, the present illness, the family history, the addictions, etc., we can give them the right kind of health education advice at that time, whereby we can say that suppose a female patient comes to you and her elder sister has suffered from carcinoma of breast. At present, she may not be having any problem, but once she crosses 35, we should advise them well before she reaches that age that she is supposed to regularly monitor her breast by self breast examination, as well as afterwards once a year if she can undergo mammography at the first place, and then at least once in 2 years or 3 years based on the findings and all. If she does the screening, it is going to detect the CA breast at much earlier stage, where it will be treatable, because it's a genetic disease. So if the sibling or the mother is suffering from this kind of disease, it is best to observe and best to do the preventive aspect, so that early cases can be diagnosed and treated. Similarly, if the patient is having the habit of smoking, for which he has not come right now to you, he has just come for cough, cold, fever, etc., but when you are taking the detailed history of the patient, asking him whether he smokes, you can advise him to stop smoking immediately, totally and permanently, by impressing upon him that smoking is very, very hazardous to our health. There are 4,000 chemicals, 437 out of which being carcinogenic, where any kind of cancer, any of the organ of the body, it can lead to cancer. And hence, one should totally stop it so that in future, a lot of morbidity and mortality of such cases can be prevented. So it's the stepping stone to health promotion and disease prevention, as we can understand. Then it reduces the number of admissions in the hospital by early treatment, whereby they don't worsen, so that they cannot be treated at home, they cannot be taken care of at home, so that it will lead to less number of patients being admitted in the hospital. It ensures that only those who need inpatient care will be admitted. So most of the patients who don't need, and if they are feeling that, let me get admitted for a day or two or 5 days, so that all the investigations can be done and then I can be treated, you should impress upon him that you do not require admissions right now, and probably only by OPD services you can be cured. So let's understand what is the demand of the OPD services and how we are going to arrive at. It will depend on number of outpatient visits, by taking the previous history, by taking the history of how many patients are visiting in the similar hospitals in and around, what are the number of people visiting, how many number of attendants are also coming per year from population, which is considered to be the catchment area of this hospital, where usually say around 10 kilometers or so people are going to come to your hospital, and some of them may be coming from far off places also if you have got super specialty services, or if the name of your hospital has been very high in the eyes of the community around. So you should first understand how many number of visits are occurring, and based on that you are supposed to put the layout of the OPDs, the square meters, and the number of OPDs, the number of super specialties, etc. All these things will depend on your basic survey and data collection. Then what is the re-attendance rate and what is the new outpatients who are registered with you? Based on that also you can accordingly appoint the people who can take care of this kind of load. Then proportion of pregnant women who are attending to the antenatal clinic, which will guide you what kind of labor ward, what kind of emergency services in case of the complications of pregnancy you are supposed to have. And if we find that the antenatal cases checkup, we are finding out some of them are having problems in conceiving also, then you can have infertility clinic also. So all these things, as we go on understanding how many patients are coming, how many number of patients, how many beds are there, also will lead to how many outpatients are likely to be there. So let's understand where OPD should be located. There should be an independent approach to entrance, so that patients can easily come to various generalized and specialized OPDs. Preferably it should be on the ground floor and easy access should be there, so that large number of community patients can easily see this and attend and come there. It should be close to registration, so that there is no wastage of time for the registration of the patient and then going to the OPD, so it should be nearby. It should also be close to casualty, because some of the critically ill patients can directly be diverted to casualty, or some of the patients who are not that critically ill, instead of going into casualty, or if they have by chance gone to the casualty, they can be directed to OPD also. Preferably there should be a attached laboratory, so that basic investigations can be done there, and even x-rays can be done and the medicines can be given, so it should be near the laboratory, radiology and pharmacy department. OPDs of all specialties should be kept in the same building, so that when a patient goes to one OPD and the attending doctor feels that he has come to the wrong OPD, because he needs somebody else's treatment, or if he has got simultaneously two or three problems where he may be given a reference to the another consultant. So because of this cross reference needed, many times it is preferable that all the specialties OPDs should be close by and it should be in the same building. Secondly, whenever the OPD timings are over, you should keep it closed, because there is no point in wasting the very important resource, that is electricity. And wasting manpower also to look after that no pilferage, theft, etc. is occurring. This is in short the layout of the OPD, where you can see a person is entering. There are executive cuticles, antibiotic place, dispensary where he can be taking the medicine on the upper side. There are the various kinds of OPD, there are on the right side. Then there are various kinds of ancillary services in the form of injection room, dressing room, etc. can be taken care of immediately, whatever is needed. And there is a casualty department also nearby, so that in case of emergency, he can be transferred there, or in case of acute care where he needs operation theater also, he can be shifted there easily. Now let's understand what are the various functions of outpatient department. First and foremost is to provide specialist diagnostic, specialist opinion in the form of various specialties. It can be general medicine, general surgery, ENT, orthopedic, eye specialist, ophthalmologist, neurophysician, neurosurgeon, retina specialist, glaucoma specialist, and so many other specialists are there who can treat them on outpatient basis various kinds of ailments for the patients. Basically, it is to treat ambulatory patients, that means those who are moving patients who do not require the care to be taken with in inpatient department, where he should get accommodation and he should be lying down and the treatment given by the doctors, nurses, etc. So it is basically for ambulatory patients. It is also going to screen patients for hospitalization, whereby we can know what are the total number of patients out of the various kinds of ailments who are coming to you. In OPD, you can judge who will be requiring inpatient treatment, ICU treatment, operation, etc., so that you can then shift them accordingly. It also helps us in following up those patients who have been discharged from your hospital, because now they do not need any more inpatient treatment, but still they need follow up with these doctors so that they do not have any complications further, and whatever disease they are suffering from, they can be taken care of. It also helps us in providing primary health care. First, whatever patients come as a new patient, primary treatment he may be requiring in the form of, suppose he's got some injury, he may be needing just injection, tetanus toxoid dressing and some medicines for 2-3 days. So as a primary health care also it helps us, or some minor fever or some little bit of gastroenteritis, vomiting, etc., he can be easily treated on outpatient basis. It's a very important place to give health education to our patients, because you can impress upon them why they have got this kind of disease, what are the hygienic requirements which are to be taken care of by the patient to prevent this kind of diseases, especially in case of communicable diseases. And even usually the patients are accompanied by their relatives or friends, who also can be simultaneously given health education, so that even it is going to help them in preventing some of these basic problems. It also helps us for immunizing the people, especially the children. For children, normally we are giving immunization as per the guidelines given by expanded program of immunization or the modern pediatrics associations who are giving us the guidelines at what interval what kind of immunizations are to be given. For example, at the time of birth, the child is supposed to be given BCG, that is for tuberculosis, and oral polio vaccine. After that, the child is supposed to be given at the age of 1.5 month, 2.5 month, 3.5 month, the oral polio vaccine, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, and hepatitis B, 9 months, measles, 15 months, measles, mumps, rubella, 18 months, first booster dose of polio and triple, and then 5 years again the DT and polio, and then 10 years and 16 years the child can be given injection tetanus toxoid. Similarly, a pregnant mother, when she comes, she is supposed to be given 2 injection tetanus toxoid at the interval of 1 month. Whenever she comes, as early as possible, we can start that. So, and based on the endemic diseases, epidemics that are there, sometimes new immunizations can be given, or some of the immunocompromised patients, for example, if they are HIV patients or renal transplant patients or any other organ transplant patients, etc., where the chances of rejection are there. Apart from that, since the immunity level is so low because of the HIV or because of the steroids given for preventing the rejection of these transplanted organs, they may be given special immunization to prevent some of the infections. So we can have well baby clinics as outpatient services department, where the mothers or the attendants are coming along with children, where we can do the growth monitoring of these children by having growth charts, whereby physical and mental growth of the children can be traced, and then right kind of advice can be given. It will also prevent some of the myths in the minds of mothers, and also mitigating their anxieties if the child is not starting speaking, or if the child is having slightly delayed milestone, etc. One should know what can be done for this kind of thing, and if needed later, physiotherapy, speech therapy, etc. also can be given. Then there is integrated counseling and testing center for HIV AIDS also can be there as OPD services, because the HIV cases are increasing day by day because of the promiscuity and the free sex that's available and the culture that is changing all over the world. Then comes training and education of medical, paramedical, as well as nursing staff can be given in OPD, whereby the interns or the students of medical profession who are learning, they can attend the OPDs, whereby daily they can see lot of number of cases at an early stage of the disease. Otherwise, if they are only visiting the wards, usually that's an advanced stage of disease where they are seeing the patients. But when they are going to practice outside in future, it is not necessary that they are going to treat only the inpatient patients. So OPD services are going to help them in understanding the early signs, symptoms of the disease, and how to treat them, how to tackle these patients. Psychology also they are going to learn when they attend such kind of OPD cases along with the treating doctors. Similarly, even nurses and other paramedical people can also be trained in the OPD. For example, nurses can be treated in various OPDs, and some of the nurses may be undergoing the specialist course in nursing. For example, only the those patients who have been operated for intestinal resection and colostomy is done, and then how to take care of this colostomy opening, etc., also can be seen at the OPD level, how to dress them, what advice to be given and all when they are doing some specialist course in that. Similarly, the radiology technicians can be taught how to take x-rays in case of OPD, because large number of x-rays are going to be taken from OPD patients. Then collection, compilation, analysis of all the medical records, one has to do it on OPD basis. Also, all the patients who are coming to your OPD, their medical records are to be kept up to date. Functions of central survey as a center of disease control, center for disease control also can be done in OPD, whereby we can collect data regarding what number of cases are coming for what kind of problems, what kind of diseases, and hence we can then develop whether the geographical location where you are located in the area around, what are the most commonly occurring diseases. So, whether your zone is an endemic zone for that particular disease, and in that case, you can start giving a lot of health education talks, you can start having some outreach programs for treating such cases also by giving medical camps, etc., to the community. Then we can also do epidemiological study of diseases. What is epidemiology? It's nothing but the any risk factor, any causative factor which is leading to a disease. What is the prevalence of this disease in that area? So, determinants and distribution of the disease will be determined, will be found out by doing epidemiological studies, whereby in future you can take preventive care to prevent such cases to occur, and right kind of health education can be given to that particular location where it is more prevalent and all. So, let us understand how once the patient enters the hospital, how he is going to go through when he is going for OPD services. There are in the OPD services, these are the various areas available where you can have radiology, pathology, pharmacy, blood bank, ECG, EEG, physiotherapy, etc. All these things can be available at OPD basis. You can have consultants, consultations. So, OPD rooms are there where various specialist consultants are sitting and people are going to go there. Then there is injection room, dressing room, plaster room for the orthopedic OPD. There is minor surgical OPD where minor cuts, abrasions can be treated, little bit of suturing can be done, foreign body in the eye or ear can be removed. So, minor surgery procedures can be done in this room. There is a pharmacy or treatment room available where medicines are given, ICTC where intense integrated counseling and testing center for HIV is there. There is antenatal care, there is immunization clinic, there are medico-social workers sitting in a particular room where the psychology of the patient can be taken care of, and if some of the patients are not affording, they can be directed to the right kind of charitable institutions where they can get some funds so that they can be treated. There are consultants offices, consulting chamber of doctors are there side by side for various kinds of specialties, as I told you earlier. Then there is going to be administrative area where some hospital administrator or assistant hospital administrator is going to sit to look after the services of the OPD should run smoothly, and if there are any problems, he can take care of them. If any grievances are there on the part of the patients or their relatives, they can approach him and he can sort out their problems. Then there are waiting areas and sub waiting areas. A big waiting area at the center can be there where when they enter, they are going to wait for their admission form and all that. OPD sheet they can collect or OPD card they can collect. Then sub waiting area for each OPD can be there, and there is a medical records department where all the records are kept. Then there is public relation officer where inquiry counter is there at the beginning of the hospital where people can inquire about any services they need. There are of course signages also for them. There is information to be given, registration to be done, appointments to be fixed up for OPD services. And there are public utility services in the form of drinking water, in the form of toilets, etc., separate for male and female. So, this is how you can see from down above, once the outpatients enter the hospital, he comes in the waiting area, there are signages, there is a public relation where inquiry can be done, information can be given, and the OPD card can be issued based on the appointment given earlier. And then he goes up to the chambers, then consultant offices, and if required to administrative area or others. This is how the flow of OPD patients is going to be there. Now, what are the various physical facilities available for the OPD? For every bed, there should be 2 to 3 outpatients who are going to attend usually. So, the size of the OPD should be 2 to 3 square feet per OPD attendance. Medicine for ECG, you can have separate room for 150 square feet for ECG taking. You can have for ENT, you can have audiometry, 150 square feet room separately, which should be soundproof. For ICE, around 520 square feet additional room may be required, part of it for refraction, part of it for perimetry, which is to know the visual fields, especially in case of glaucoma. Part of it can be tonometry, where you are finding out the intraocular pressure to know whether a person is suffering from glaucoma. Then there is a slit lamp examination to be done to know whether the patient is having any foreign body in the eye or having a cataract or any other problems in the eye. In case of orthopedic, you can have a separate plaster room, which should be around 150 square feet. So this is how special OPDs may be requiring some additional areas to take care of these patients. For example, psychiatric OPD, you can have 150 square feet separately, around 100 to 150 square feet separately for taking electroencephalogram, EEG. In case of neurology OPD, at times you may need a separate investigation for the EMG, electromyogram. In case of speech therapies, you may need a separate area to teach them properly, and maybe rehabilitation, you can have physiotherapy and occupational therapy, where various equipments, the toys, etc., can be there for children to learn in case of neurological disorders. So this is how at OPD basis you can have various kinds of sub ancillary areas also required. So in OPD you can have clinical area where they are being examined and treated. You can have administrative area where the assistant medical superintendent, etc., is sitting to look after overall the functioning of the OPD and other part of hospital if required. And circulation area where the patient is going to move around from one place to other for various kinds of services or ancillary services, etc. And patient area where he can wait when his turn comes. So patient's area, you can have entrance, reception, registration, record room, desks to sit, waiting area, public utility service, for example, toilets, etc., drinking water, snack bar, PCO, so that he can phone if needed. Of course, nowadays most of the people are having mobile phones, but sometimes the range is not there, or some people may not be having by chance, or they are not having their phones charged, or even nowadays many of the hospitals are providing the charging services also. Various points are kept and the chargers are also available. Then audiovisual material can be there in the waiting area, so that the patient is not getting bored. At the same time, he is getting some of the other health education talks from this audiovisual area. Mobile charging facility, ATM also ideally should be there in the hospital, so that in case the patient is not having that much of cash, or some additional investigation is told by the doctor and he needs to do that, and if he doesn't have money, he can easily remove that from ATM. And there should be locker room or cloak room, especially those who are coming daily